Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah. I mean, I did a podcast from there. We did a podcast. It was like some anniversary podcast or something like that. And I was grilling him because I used to work in an arcade. I worked in an arcade for like 3 years. And so I was always like, you know, did you ever find the pizza grease just gets inside the...
outside food allowed at the Ghost.
No, there is not.
Gum, no outside food.
Which is kind of, well, the gum thing I understand.
Don't put sodas on the machines.
Oh, I just don't. It's a shame because they get that really crappy Chinese place right next door. That's like the most grossest Chinese place ever, but the food is delicious. Yeah,
it's super good.
Well, of course, because it's the grossest place
ever.
Yeah,
if you walk into a Chinese place and it's really scuzzy looking, the food's going to be great.
Yeah.
General rule of thumb.
I mean, let's not be honest. This isn't the best Chinese food in the world.
It's good.
It's good for what it needs to be.
It's good. Like their orange chicken is very tasty. Yeah. Their noodles are very good.
I always get pot stickers there. That's like
pot stickers are good too.
Yeah, it's my go-to.
Yeah, I can't eat that stuff anymore, but I would frequent there often.
Yeah. You don't like that you can't eat the pot stickers anymore?
Carbs.
You still do off the carbs thing?
Yeah, no carbs.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, and for those who do not know, Steve did a Kumite yesterday at the Galloping Ghost Arcade.
Kumite!
Yes. Where he played, was it 96
93 separate fighting games.
Oh, it was only fighting games.
Only fighting games.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm good, but I'm not, like, that good. The only reason I'm good is because arcade style is much different than controller style. Mm-hmm. And working in the arcade for 3 years, I have a little bit of a muscle memory with the arcade, with the fighting stick as opposed to the controller.
Sure.
So,
I mean, most people, when they play at tournaments and stuff, they bring a stick for the consoles.
But, yeah, but I would, you know, like, you put me up against you in, like, some other games. Maybe we got ourselves a game.
Well, I told Pat that maybe for the next Kumite, we should also include any head-to-head title. So, Tetris.
Yeah, I was going to say,
all that stuff. Anything that's a head-to-head versus game.
Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble Cooperative.
Oh. I love Bubble Bobble.
It has to be head-to-head, and it has to, I would say, head-to-head simultaneous play. So, like, we wouldn't do...
Simo!
Well, you wouldn't do... Because, like, you can technically play Pac-Man against someone.
Yeah.
You play for the higher score, but that's not really the same as...
I get what you're saying.
You know, each playing Tetris at the same time.
Like a racing game or something like that.
Right, yeah. You could play, like, Cruisin' USA, and, like, you know, whoever wins, wins.
Cruisin'!
Daytona! Let's go away!
No, it's like... at the arcade, when you turn on... All the power at the beginning of the day, you'd hear Daytona. it's drilled into my head.
Let's go away.
it's one of those things that that you'll never forget throughout your entire life. It's like the door chime at the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever you hear a door chime anywhere, you just turn and look at the door because you were like dog trained to Pavlovianly trained to acknowledge
check
someone.
The door.
Greet. Yeah, AVSB Pedmas.
Yeah,
like
AVSB Pedmas. I believe that was it.
No, Pedmas is the.
No, it's Pedmas. That's it.
Is it really? Because isn't no Pedmas is for solving mathematical equations in algebra.
Huh? Maybe it's also Pedmas. Now I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I used to have my Ten Commandments card back in the day. Hey everyone, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is my co-host Steve.
Game Classy.
I got a lot to complain about and a lot of gaming stuff to talk about, so we're going to see how we're going to parse this off. Because Steve has nothing. Steve has been doing...
40K. I have opinions.
40K opinions. Well, this is the first time you've ever expressed an opinion on 40K on the podcast.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, you do?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get off the bat and we'll talk about 40K. A lot more information has dropped since the last cast. We got to see the figures. We had the big Space Marines.
Starter set's sick.
It is pretty nice. The Primaris. No, it's Primaris. That's how I'm going to pronounce it and watch all of the geeky boys at the Games Workshop stores get mad at me.
Whatever. or you're actually pronouncing it right and Primaris is wrong.
Primaris.
Because there's no way that that's right.
Primaris. Okay, we'll do it.
That's 100%
Primaris,
wrong.
Primaris. The Primaris Space. Oh, look at your Primaris Space Marines.
Yes. There's no way that's right. So yeah. I'd say that's a safe bet.
Primaris. Just because... I cannot stand people at the game stores anymore, so I'm just going to constantly mispronounce stuff in front of them.
The Death Guard stuff's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
They're awesome
looking. The Deathguard?
Deathguard.
Deathguard.
of Nargle.
The Nargles. Oh, are these your Nargles?
Tiznich. You got those Tiznich guys?
Tiznich. the Tiznich.
And Slanish.
Well, isn't that how it's supposed to be?
It's Slanish.
Well, Slanish.
Two E's. Slanish.
Slanish.
I got that Slanish.
I always call it Slanish.
It's Slanish.
And I always played Slanish, too. That's the sad thing.
Tiznich.
Yeah, the
Crone.
The Crone Berserkers. I always like corn.
Yeah.
Not corn. It's corn.
Crone.
Crone Berserkers.
Crone.
Necrones. Yeah, I'm interested. I'm still the one thing that I'm kind of holding off on that I'm interested to see where they go with it is game size.
Well, did you see the dual points values?
Maybe.
So the game has dual points values. There's
dual.
There's a points value for a card.
Shadows.
Which is like 12, 10, 8, 7. They're very small.
Yeah.
And that's like to take like in Age of Sigmar, that's like taking a war scroll. So like this war scroll is worth 12 points, etc.
Okay.
That's the like casual yet sort of balanced, like casual with structure is
okay.
that rule set. And then there is the other points, which is 8 points per model. You can have this many models.
That thing. Sucks.
But there's both.
I know. I kind of was hoping that they would go the Sigmar route, where it's just like 10 guys cost this many points.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is an excellent compromise.
Well, because one of the things that I've been, you know, I've been doing the fantasy stuff lately, and I've been basing it for Kings of War, because there's no way I'm going to play 9th edition.
9th Seal, or whatever it is.
The 9th Age.
Ah, yes, 9th Age.
The
9th Age.
The 9th Age. An age is the approximate amount of time it takes you to get through those rules. There's no way I'm going to play 9th Age. 8th edition is bullshit.
I mean, let's be honest. Both, like, people are quote-unquote playing 9th Age, but it's dead.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one's playing Warhammer anymore. Like, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm figuring I was going to take and put my stuff for Kings of War. One of the things I really like about it is it's just like, oh, it's a 10-man block. Okay.
Yep.
That's it. Because I was trying to explain to Dwayne, who I play with, and he was like, wait, so what happens if you got to remove a model? No, you just remove the whole base.
Yep,
and he's
it's
like,
gone. Stands are gone. It's like Warmaster.
Yeah, and he was just like, okay, so like, how many should I make? Like 30? I'm like, no, it only comes in 10, 20, or 40, and maybe every once in a while 60, but 60 is very rare.
Yeah, having done 2 Kings War armies, I can say that the best, my opinion, the best way to do them is 10 man bases. Like, you make strips as if you were doing Warmaster.
Yeah.
And just get a base that's appropriately. I think the only bigger bases in the game is orcs. I think everything's 20 mil except for orcs, infantry wise.
I think the beast men and some of the chaos stuff are 25s.
Maybe. So whatever you do, just get one base that fits, you know, that is the space of 10 models.
Yeah.
And just do that. And then make those for your regiments. And then you can do magnets on the bottom. Or you can even get a magnetic base that's size for 10 and then just use steel movement trays.
Yeah.
That, my opinion, that's the way to go for that game, because it gives you the maximum amount of flexibility while still being able to do some cool scenic stuff because you have a big 10-man base.
Yeah. I mean, I just created little 10-man movement trays.
Yeah, I mean, that works too.
Yeah, so I just
same
so
difference.
I can rebase my Empire stuff
yeah,
in there and not have
difference.
To worry about that. Yes, but that's what I absolutely like, and that's what I like about Sigmar, too, is that that extra element in creating your army has always kind of pissed me off, where you're like min-maxing, oh, should I take that 11th guy, or should I spend that on a magic weapon or something like that?
That doesn't appear to be in 40K. The points are just guys. It's like, it's only mans.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is though it's like, oh, you know, it's like I got like these 3 extra points. Like, what do I do with them?
I think
them?
Those are just left over at this point.
So it's, or whatever. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, because they don't have the. Because, well, I it was a cursory glance, but it does not appear that they had, which I appreciated, but it does not appear that they had the, like, you can take this man with this thing. It was just, I think it's just like, you can take 10 Space Marines, 2 of them can have plasma guns.
Yeah.
Like, flat. And then, like, their point, their 8 points of marine.
I don't even think it's, like, 2 of them can have plasma guns. I think it's, like, 2 of them have plasma guns.
Well, if they have special weapons.
Yeah.
So you can pick which special weapons they have.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's very specific in that, like, okay, these are 10. This is your tech squad. Your tech squad specifically consists of this.
Yeah.
You can't, like, be like, well, I'm going to take all marines, and they're not going to get any special weapons, and they're going to do this and this and this. Ugh.
It looks good. I am... I think it's the right direction for the game. I think it'll get more people playing it.
Game size is going to be the most important thing for this game.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll settle around a good size.
Well, I think Age of Sigmar is a little big right now. Judge from the last tournament that I saw, it seemed like kind of big.
Some are running bigger. That's the thing. Sigmar is weird because like some places are running 1500,
yeah,
which I think is pretty close to ideal. I actually think 1750 is the best points cost.
Really?
For Age of Sigmar.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's kind of high.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's exactly 1750 is where you want to be because it gives you enough points to do something. Like 1750 means you can take that 700 point orc war boss and then take a 1050 list. Like,
yeah,
you can get a reasonable army with something big in it at 1750.
Yeah, I think
and you can't take two big things because you don't have 2,000 points. You don't have that extra wiggle room.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw, though, a lot of people were running a lot of small stuff as opposed to bigger stuff.
Yeah, I think the bigger stuff's better. But with if you're playing it competitively, which you shouldn't, the reason why you wouldn't run the big models is because the best lists are shooting lists and they're just spam. They're just tons and tons of archers. So, like, the arguable two best lists is the Tzeentch Demons list, which is all shooting, and the Orc Savage Orc Error Boys, which is all shooting. And it's just dudes on foot with ranged weapons. They have nothing special. There's no strategy. It just buries you with dice. Okay. That's the competitive lists.
So
big stuff's bad against that, because they're just like, oh, you got a dragon, 100 dice at it. It's dead.
Yeah,
you know, nice. That's always been a problem. Like, you know, that's why giants always sucked in sixth edition, because like fucking dudes with bows, like you try and charge it and they just stand and shoot it and just kill it. It's like, oh, it just my giant got killed by Noblars again.
Again. So I want to use our, you know, we don't usually use our power as games.
We have power
as podcast hosts. You know, we have some influence and sway over people.
I don't think
like
we have
three
any.
People.
I think three people might listen to us, but just like actually listen, not follow us.
Okay. So I found a really great bootlegger of some metal minis on eBay. I'm not going to give them away, but he made some great stuff. But the problem is like, okay, so I got all these stuff for an army. I kind of want to get some other stuff. So I started looking for the Chinese bootleggers for the resin stuff. Mm-hmm. Or the old the crap, the fine crap stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can't find them anymore. They're all gone.
It's because they appear and disappear on eBay.
Yeah, I can't. Well, not on eBay, but I was looking at some of the other sites like Alibaba and stuff like
that.
Oh,
right, right, right.
I couldn't find them. So if anybody knows some good fine crap bootleggers out there, just PM us through the Facebook page and let me know. Where it is. I mean, Fantasy or 40K stuff.
Yeah, my thing is you can find them on eBay. So the way you find them on eBay, I've used some on eBay before, and they make an eBay account, they list a bunch of shit, and then
they disappear.
Right, because GW finds and suspends them, and then they remake their account, and they'll usually have a name like surplus 773367899473, and then like
the next one's with
783
four.
With four, right? Yeah. And then they're selling cheap. You can always tell because it's like it's forge world stuff at like half the price.
No, this guy that I found who's bootlegging the stuff, he bootlegs in metal.
That's pretty sweet. Can you get resin in metal?
No.
Okay. There was a guy doing that for a while. He like I remember because someone had a they had like three forge world models. I was like, oh, can I look at these? He's like, sure. And I picked them up and I'm like, this is metal. I'm like, this is a really nice recast in metal.
No, this guy, it's some old sixth edition fantasy stuff in metal. So it was like I'm not going to give it away even what it was. But yeah, it was some really nice stuff.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see an army, a huge Chaos Dwarf army that's just that fucking like dwarf with the halberd. You know what I'm talking about?
I have one.
It's just that. It's just that model.
Well, I mean, there's other stuff, but all my individual troops are just that guy.
Dwarf with the halberd? That's fucking
I have
great.
like a three blocks of 20 of that guy.
That cracks me up.
Yeah. Well, that was the only model. Well, there was the metal ones, but yeah, good luck on that.
The only plastic one. There's like the Chaos Warrior, the one that's got the axe, and he's like got his hand on his side.
I've been so into Old Hammer lately that when I see armies like that, I get so happy. Like, I love the Beastman one because that Beastman is so awful looking.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. He's terrible.
So speaking of the fantasy stuff in the Age of Sigmar Skirmish came out. Cheap.
Yep, super cheap. I think it was like $5.
Yeah, $10.
$5 or $10, whatever.
$10 for the book. And which is actually funny because the old skirmish book that you love so much, like that 6th, 7th edition book, going for like $30 online. I found a copy for $5.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did some searching for it. And I found some of Rob Hawkins' minis in there as well.
Ooh.
I got really excited. I was going to take a picture of it. I totally forgot about it until this, until I came here for the podcast. And I was like, oh, that's Rob Hawkins. It's got his little skelly guys in there.
His Vampire Counts army that has been around for all eternity.
Yeah, it was like them making banners and his like ridiculously large Todd McFarlane-esque skull banners. Yeah, that was in there. I don't know. If I'd play that skirmish. It just doesn't look right to me.
It looks fun.
You think it does?
Yeah, I think it looks fun.
I don't know.
I love small scale stuff. I think it's great. I like that I think small scale games that are full games, minus something like Arena Rex, which is very minor and is meant for like a little battle. I think the ones that are full rule sets that go into like campaign style, I think those always kind of buckle under their own weight.
Yeah.
Just for like, it's like Mordheim. Like Mordheim's a great game, but it also sucks. And I think having a scaled down version of a game that already exists. So example, Age of Sigmar skirmish, I think that's a better and more sustainable way to play the game because it's just easier and you already have the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like that was always great about the fantasy skirmish. It was like, oh, you don't need a unit of 20 crossbowmen. You only need 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, this is way better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the warband stuff was always super fun.
Oh, warbands. You love your warbands.
I mean, it's the same thing as skirmish, really.
Yeah. I
do love warbands. I think warband 6th edition was my favorite thing of ever with Warhammer. It's so good.
So, I mean, it's in the stores. It's, you know, whatever. Everyone's just prepping right now for 40K. It's like doomsday preppers. Like, people are getting ready to sell their armies. Like, I'm waiting for that initial, like,
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't
it's
think
not,
so?
Well, it, like, because the rules are out, and, like, the only people who are, like, really butthurt about it are people who are, like, it's the difference between Warhammer versus Age of Sigmar and 40K versus 40K, it's, like, a huge difference. The amount of people, like, I don't see anyone setting their Space Marine armies on fire.
Oh, damn it.
I know.
Hey guys, listening at home, guess what Steve has on his shelf right now? Steve has his Kingdom Death stuff out. I know you guys, he always said that he would never open it up.
And I kept that word, I didn't open it.
Who opened it? Nikki did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. How'd you feel about that?
That was fine.
Were you betrayed?
I was not. I said that I would never open it, and I did not break that seal. I did not break my covenant with man.
But did you ask to have it opened?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Did you hint at it?
I did not.
Like you're sitting there going like, you know, I wonder if they actually shipped me all
I have
this
not,
stuff.
I have not touched those models. I have not built those models.
No.
Those are not my handiwork.
What about your co-buyer? Is he aware of this?
Yes, he is aware. He's very excited that it's out of the box.
Well, how come he never came in by and picked his stuff? So give me a model. Let me see. Give me something. I want to take a look at this, because I have yet to like actually handle like one of these. Oh man, that is some nice quality. Jeez. Like the funny thing is like, so these are plastic, and the detail on these are pretty insane.
Yes.
For what they are, and you know, some fat bottom girls
for board game pieces.
Yeah, essentially. I like the base too. I'd still use a washer,
but
I like the
base. That's actually not even the full base. That actually sockets into the full base.
Ah. Yeah, I still probably would use washers, but
I know you're on your huge washer kick.
It's the best way with plastic figures because you get the weight. That's the reason. You trick yourself into believing that your figures have weight.
You could just buy the metal bases from Privateer Press.
Well, they have metal bases? Like of their
every size. Every size of Privateer has a metal base equivalent.
Really?
Yeah, they specifically made them when they started going to resin figures so you could have the weight.
Mm. Well, those are different sizes though. Those are like 30 mil though.
Right. They're 30 mil.
You can't buy 30 millimeter fender brake washers. So.
They're 30 millimeter. They're 50 millimeter and then 60 millimeter, I think, are their metal bases. I think those are the three sizes of Privateer bases. But I did use them on some warjacks and some bigger infantry, and they're really nice.
Yeah,
it's really nice to give it. But I think it's like for bigger models. Like for the smaller models, it's fine. But like for the bigger models, it's nice to give them the weight.
Well, because your smaller models are designed to be knocked off the table.
Like, right. Gah! Exactly. Yeah. You want to be able to knock them down when you're mad.
Yeah. You want to have some flight with them. With the metal base, when you knock them over, they're just gonna fall over. You want them to fly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, now you're playing with power.
Now you're playing with power. Like you want the metal base. You want the metal bases. So like when you have the little wiener kids comping, you're like, oh my god.
Do they have the cornate chain axes?
Yeah. Look at these. Look at these corn berserkers. Can I touch it? And you're like, no. And they're like, I'm gonna touch it anyway.
In slow mo. No. And then suddenly your fucking squats are all over the ground.
God damn it. I hate children. I hate those type of kids. And they're just bunker rats. Those are the only worst kids in the world when it comes to that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like they have no boundaries. And it's because their parents just let them run around like crazy because the bunker was just a daycare.
It was a glorified daycare center.
Yeah.
For adults and children.
Especially adults, because the adults would be like, shoving their mouths full of garbage. Ugh.
Hey, you want a Tolkien calendar?
No.
Wow.
I don't like calendars. I think calendars and wristwatches are symbols of a bygone age that we no longer have to go to.
Oh, listen to you, Mr. Bougie.
Well, I got all these.
I'm too good for a calendar. Wristwatches I'll give you. But some wristwatches look really cool.
Well, it depends. I mean, like, wristwatches aren't designed to tell time. Wristwatches are a status symbol, and as a member of the lower class, I don't need to be wearing a wristwatch to show
unless
my status.
Unless they're cool looking, like if I had a wristwatch that was like the hour and the minute hand were dicks, I would totally wear that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Like, come on, that'd
okay.
be awesome.
So wristwatches serve two purposes: one, status symbol, and two, novelty.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes,
like when you get the Hillary Clinton watch that goes backwards.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Buttery males. Buttery males.
Buttery?
Buttery males.
Delicious buttery males.
Oh, yeah. Don't you know that's what everyone wants is the buttery males.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It just goes to show you that they're not actually complaining about the emails. They just want hot buttered males.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I agree completely. Who wouldn't want
hot buttered
males?
Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah.
The movie's fucking great.
Yeah. I mean.
I saw it recently. It's really fucking good.
Yeah, everyone agrees. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit. This movie's really good. Yeah. Well, usually when I hear, when people are collectively jizzing about something, like Logan is a great example. Everyone was collectively jizzing about that movie. It was fine. Like, I did not hate it, but, like, the jizz was unwarranted for that film.
A lot of people who are jizzing over that film, though, like, you got to remember that the only movies they see are movies like Wolverine and Wolverine 2.
Yeah, I guess.
The Wolverine. So...
Wolverine 2, The Wolverine.
So
that's a fucking amazing title.
Well, it's just called The Wolverine, but it's not Wolverine. I like calling it Wolverine 2, The Wolverine.
I think that's better.
But so then they watch something that actually is, you know, well thought out and well done that they
yeah, it was
freak,
a,
they
it was
lose
a,
their mind.
It was a solid movie, yeah. But it had some serious pacing issues.
It's the problem is that a lot of the emotional weight of that is completely unearned.
Mm.
So, like, you have... you know, Patrick Stewart delivering this really fantastic performance.
He was really good.
Yeah.
But he's Patrick Stewart. Of course he's good.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, it's like, where was this in every other one of his X-Men appearances? He's just been sitting there, like, phoning it in. Like, 90, like he gives a nice performance, but
sure.
It's like, he's mostly like, Rogue, go there. You know, that's like the level of his dialogue.
Sure. Well, yeah, they didn't write the part for him in the other films. They actually wrote him a fucking Charles Xavier to play in this one. He was definitely, I think he was the best part of the movie. He was really good.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. I agree completely. Best part of the movie. And that's the thing is, like, it's completely unearned. And that's kind of my problem with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
The whole fathers and sons subplot by the end is so unearned that you're just like, the emotional weight of this is completely blown to bits when you sit there and analyze it for 3 seconds. You're like,
did you see
a
new Alien?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I heard it's decent. The consensus seems to be if you liked Prometheus, you'll like this movie.
And I liked Prometheus. I mean,
I also did.
Prometheus, not the best movie in the world, but I thought it was well shot and it was moody and whatever.
I thought a lot of the griping about Prometheus was not was pretty like
people are like, where are my colonial marines?
Yeah, it's really like marines! So you're upset that the movie isn't Aliens. So is everyone else, okay? It's not Aliens.
Yeah. This isn't even Alien 3.
Alien 3 I feel is an underrated movie. It's really weird.
It's Fincher.
Though. Yeah.
It's like, if you like Fincher, you like Alien 3. Yeah. If you don't like Fincher, you're not going to like Alien 3.
I agree with that.
And then,
and actually, I really liked Alien Resurrection. Alien Resurrection is such a weird movie when you look at it in the scope of the Alien franchise. Alien Resurrection is this, like, total outlier that's not an Alien film at all. It's, like, a weird, funny, like, very esoteric movie. It's very strange. With the sole exception of the scene where they go into the room with all the Ripley clones, that's actually kind of disturbing. But other than that, that movie's mostly just funny. It's zany. Like, it really is. The
it's
fucking
French.
Well, the fucking, the Firefly team, the Firefly team versus aliens, which is what that movie is.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually silly. Like, if you, it's been a while since a lot of people have seen the movie, but like,
they play basketball in the
film. They're funny. Like, they have really funny scenes. They crack jokes. It's like a, it's a very,
do
odd,
they crack wise?
They do. They crack wise. And Ron Perlman's in it. And Ron Perlman's obviously great. I don't know. I like the movie. I think it's definitely not the best Alien movie by a fucking a huge margin. I think the best Alien movie is Alien, followed very tightly by Aliens.
I put them together. I mean, there's, I don't, they're two different animals. It's like, yeah, how do you compare?
True.
How do you compare apples
it's
and
true.
Oranges?
One, one is a brilliant suspenseful horror film, and the other is an amazing action movie.
Film.
Yeah, it's kind of, it is kind of hard to compare genres like that.
Yeah, but yeah, from what I hear, it's gonna be, and it's pretty good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Just saw Wonder Woman last night.
Everyone says that movie's really good.
It is. It's so yeah, some of the editing is kind of sloppy. I think the story jumps a little bit. However, acting wise, very good acting. Pacing is very good. Action scenes are very, very good. Best, you know that scene in Batman versus Superman where Batman jumps into the warehouse? You know, the best.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's super great.
Every action scene in this movie, in Wonder Woman, is very reminiscent of that action
awesome.
Scene.
Because that scene was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's the best part of the movie. It's the only reason
totally
to watch
awesome.
Batman versus
totally
Superman.
Totally awesome.
Yeah.
I liked seeing just Batman just beat the shit out of people.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Oh, yeah. that's exactly it. And so, like, every action sequence in Wonder Woman is very similar to that one.
Okay.
The ending is, or the end fight scene is less video, you know how like at the end of like a lot of these
comic book movies it's a video game fight,
yeah,
boss fight.
Yeah, it's a video game boss fight. This isn't a video game boss fight. This is like a 1980s like Masters of the Universe boss fight.
Okay.
I was like watching it and I was like, this is the most 80s thing I've ever seen, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
I mean, that's the reason why I like the Thor Ragnarok trailer, is because it's Masters of the Universe.
Yes, it totally is.
You know, it's, so I'm like, okay, they got me.
And it's,
you know,
got World War Hulk.
Yeah.
Or Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk, yeah. So you're watching it and you're like, okay, this is, like, they got some pretty cool looking stuff. Oh, hey, look, it's Cate Blanchett playing as Ava Green as hell. This is great. Then all of a sudden they start playing Immigrant Song by Zeppelin. And you're like, okay, I'm good with this. Some Zeppelin 3 playing, you know, first track off Zeppelin 3. This is good. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're cracking some jokes. They're cracking wise. I'm like, this is good. And then all of a sudden the graphics come up and they like Masters of the Universe.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm sold.
It's turbo 80s.
Yeah. I'm all for
it's
it.
It's a smart direction for Thor, I think.
Well, they finally found Thor's voice, which is the key thing.
That was a challenge.
What?
That was a challenge.
I didn't think so. You know, my feeling with Thor, and I talked about this on Comic Logic, is the first movie should have told, like, the first two movies should have been completely aping Crocodile Dundee 1 and Crocodile Dundee 2. Because
awesome.
Crocodile Dundee 1 is an amazing movie.
Crocodile Dundee, like, I remember I loved Crocodile.
Well, that's the thing.
I loved it when I was a kid. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
That was the thing.
But
like,
I loved it.
I loved it too. And we.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Kevin and I both sat there and we're like, we were drinking. We're like, let's put on Crocodile Dundee. This is going to be worth a watch. And we put it on, and instead of, like, usually making jokes throughout the entire thing like we normally do,
we watched it,
and this was like, we're like, this is a really tight script.
That was, like, the last time I watched They Live. Like, yeah. I was, like, randomly, I'm like, oh, I'm going to crack wise and watch They Live, and I'm just like, this movie's fucking great. Like, when they're having the fights, the fucking dumpster fight scene, and fucking Keith David and Rowdy Piper beating the shit out of each other for 3 solid minutes. I'm like, this is gripping.
It's gripping.
This is gripping.
No, that scene, you're just like, Oh, come on. It's not over yet.
No, see, that's the thing, though. Like, as someone who's been in an actual, like, knockdown, drag-out fight, that's what it's fucking like.
Oh,
it's awful.
Yeah. Well, I know.
And it takes forever, because people are actually very tough, and if you're not a professional fighter, you can't knock people out. Like, everyone talks about, you see UFC fights where, like, these guys go in, and then after 20 seconds, one dude's knocked out. That's professionals. Only really professionals can do that. If you fight someone and both of you are untrained, you're going to be hitting each other a lot. It's going to hurt. It's going to take a long time. And one of you might not end up winning.
Well, and that's the thing with the Crocodile Dundee, back to the Crocodile Dundee thing. It's like the first movie should have been completely fish out of water. You don't know if Thor is actually the god Thor or if he's just like
some dude
with some crazy dude with superpowers, you know? Like, that should be the entire first movie, and then the reveal at the end
is he's actually Thor.
Yeah,
from
he's
space.
Actually Thor. And then the second movie, you get all the cool Asgard visuals. You get to go to Asgard. It's like Crocodile Dundee 2 when, what's her name, Elizabeth, goes to Australia with Mick, and she gets to experience the outback with him, you know? Like, that's what it should have been. Instead of, like, the weird, like, we're gonna go get the ether with, the Doctor Who guy playing the villain, and we're just like, this movie's terrible. The first movie's terrible. These are both terrible.
I did like the part where he drinks the coffee and smashes it.
Yeah, that's like the best.
I'll have another.
Because that's funny. That's fish out of water. Yes. Like, the first movie should have been a fish out of water comedy. And now you're getting like an action comedy, which is, you know, pretty good. But it's like,
it's good for Thor. Thor's cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, Thor is a cheesy character.
Exactly.
You should embrace the cheese.
Like, the great thing about Norse gods is that they are great exaggerations of, like, what we consider to be machismo.
Yeah.
Like of course he's going to be, like, drinking and smashing the mug and doing stuff like
exactly.
that and slapping people's asses. Because
he's silly.
Yeah, he's silly.
Thor.
Yeah.
He's like, what does Thor do? Drinks, fucks, and eats.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like the scene in Conan where he punches the camel.
Yeah.
We need more punching
it's in
camels.
His face.
Yeah.
I fucking love Conan.
Exactly. But yeah, now you get Thor Ragnarok and you're like, oh,
if you do not help me, the to hell with you.
The to hell with you.
Don't pray to you, Krom.
You're just yelling at Krom.
Yeah.
Krom doesn't care.
Krom laughs at your four winds. I fucking love that movie. I'm probably going to watch it again soon.
You should. It's a great movie.
It really is. Conan is a fantastic film, and definitely, I think it set the bar too high for the sword and sorcery genre, and every film since has just been chasing it, and they'll never reach it.
Chasing Conan. Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's been a lot of sword and sorcery films.
Yeah.
There are a lot. Roger Corman made a fuck ton of them.
Yeah, but they all exist between the years 1979 and 1983.
Well, yeah, I mean, Conan exploded that genre. Like,
there's a have you watched the Mystery Science Theaters, the new ones?
No. Are they good?
They are pretty, like, the way I describe it, there's a third of them are amazing. A third of them are terrible, and a third of them are like,
okay.
So it's kind
of... That sounds like about average for
actual Mystery Science Theater, right? But they do two of them. I think it's... oh, God, what is it? It's like the wizard... They do two really good sword and sorcery ones.
Okay. Because there's a couple of those old ones I think are gems. And then there's some real shitters. There's Conan, obviously, Conan the Destroyer, the Red Sonja with not Conan in it. Then there's Beastmaster, all the different Beastmasters, the Beastmaster TV show. I'd say Hercules, the Legendary Journeys kind of falls into the sword and sorcery genre a little bit. Not exactly, but it's kind of close to that.
Hercules' Legendary Journeys, now that Crevin Sorbo has turned into the crazy person.
Sorbonio. He was exposed to too much sorbonium.
Sorbonium.
Yeah, he was exposed to too much sorbonium in the womb, so now he's gone mad.
No, not in the womb, during the production of Conan the Legendary Journeys.
Oh, yes.
So that he has become a crazy person.
Disappointed. I'm really sorboed with Sorbo. yeah, he's lost his mind. And then Xena as well. And then you have...
Beastmaster.
Yep.
Beastmaster 2. Beastmaster 3.
And the TV series.
Beastmaster TV series. Sheena.
Then there was... I think there was one called Swordmaster. There is...
What's the one with the three sword? Deathstalker?
Yes, Deathstalker.
That's the one with the three-bladed sword.
Yes. Krull, kinda.
No, Krull definitely. Krull has a little bit of science fiction to it.
Yeah.
Krull has...
But I guess that's kind of part and parcel of sword and sorcery.
Krull has...
Like, Wizards is sword and sorcery, and that's, like, got lasers and shit.
Krull is one of my favorite of that, like, weird sword and sorcery.
I like Krull. I loved that movie as a kid.
It's so bizarrely dumb.
That was one of my favorite child movies.
And the greatest weapon of all time, the glaive.
Just the chakram.
Yeah, it's like Like, how do you open that without your hand getting sliced open?
I loved the Cyclops.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was my favorite.
Well, he could see his own death.
Yeah. Well, that, they were all cursed. They could see the future, but they could see their own death.
It's fantastic. Cool. Liam Neeson's in it.
Yep.
And that wizard guy who turns into a tiger. It's great. It's great, like, kids' fantasy.
Yep.
And it's got some adulty stuff in there. And that scream that those the bad guys make when they get killed. They're like,
Wee! Yeah. Yep.
It's oh, so man. Great. But the
I wish Krull was on Netflix. I'd watch it.
I know. Well, I mean, like, there's so many great 80s movies that I wish were on Netflix. Like, how come Battle for the Planets isn't on Netflix right now? Not Battle for the Planets.
I'm going to say Battle for the Planets. That's Gotcha, Mom.
What's the fucking movie called? The one that Roger Corman did. Battle... the one that Space... Fuck, I can't think of the name.
Galaxy of Terror?
No. But the two that are on Mystery Science Theater are Wizards of the Lost Kingdom and Wizards of the Lost Kingdom 2.
Awesome.
They are the worst sword and sorcery movies I've seen of all time.
That's awesome.
But Mystery Science Theater does a really great job with them.
There's one I saw. What's the one you like, kiddo? The Warriors? With the two brothers? The sword and sorcery movie? The Bodybuilders? I think headphones are on.
No. You're like, Cole. Cole. Yeah.
I think it's called Warriors. I don't know. It has a pair of goon twins, bodybuilding twins.
Oh, this is bodybuilding.
Yeah, it's very silly. it's not good, but it was humorous.
Okay, I got to see if I gotta pull this up. It was like I was like 80 something, because it's hard because Roger Corman has like 8 bajillion movies he's directed.
The man has made a million films.
Battle Beyond the Stars. That's what it is.
Okay.
With a great one of the best soundtracks of all time in it.
Nice.
Which I think was Aped in Cult. But also, like where is my Last Starfighter? One of my favorite movies
Love
of all
Last
time.
Last Starfighter. Like, super good movie.
It's not... It's
isn't,
not
that, isn't that movie set up for a sequel at the end, too?
Yes, it definitely is. But it's not like it's... The thing with The Last Starfighter is that it's not just 80s cheese, which it is. There's a lot of that. But it is a fantastically scripted movie. All the characters are incredibly likable. It's all CG spaceships and fighting, and the spaceship design is cool. And you know, it's
Love
super super memorable.
That and Flight of the Navigator was another
Flight of the Navigator,
another 80s movie I liked as a kid.
Not as tightly scripted. It's not as good, but it's
well, I mean, it's not as good as Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter, from when you are a 12-year-old watching The Last Starfighter, it is pure escapist fantasy, and it's wonderful for that. Ice Pirates. Mm-hmm. Another one. Do you ever see the movie The Enforcers?
No.
It was with a guy who's turned into a cyborg guy, and he has like tank treads for legs.
That sounds awesome.
Oh my god! And they travel through time.
Well, I think someone linked a clip from The Enforcers on Game Classy like years ago.
I think it was probably me who did that. I probably talked about it like years and years and years ago. It's oh my god! It's
tank tread legs.
Yeah, tank tread legs. Yeah, I mean, I remember because the. Way back in the day, the local video store.
For some reason, it reminds me of Screamers. I don't know why. It's just
Phantasm.
I love Screamers. Screamers is a great movie.
And this is another thing. I was lamenting the death of event television on Comic Book Logic recently, but now I'm going to lament the death of the video store, because one of the best things about the video store, and Netflix captures it a little bit with...
Finding something dank.
Yeah, finding something dank. The difference is that when you went to the video store, you had a finite amount of money and, like, time to watch something. So it took effort to go to the video store. Granted, it might have been right around the corner, but still, you had to get up, go to the video store. You had your $1.50 or however much it costs, like $1 to rent a movie, and you'd have to find the movie that you wanted to watch and take it, bring it
home.
Grab
that VHS tape.
Yeah, and put it on and watch it. And nowadays, there's a lot more of, like, so 15 minutes into a movie, you turn it off because it's terrible. There's no loss. But that dollar, you had to get your dollar's worth out of it. And I watched some terrible movies to get my dollar's worth out of it. Ice Pirates being one of them. Terrible movie.
But, I should start a VHS bootlegging service where I just bootleg current movies on VHS.
You know what, though?
I bet you it'd sell.
It would sell. No, you know what you got to do? You bootleg the movie onto the VHS, modern movie onto VHS, but you have to create 80s cover art for the box.
Oh, nice.
If you did that, then that would sell.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what you got to get it on.
All right.
Because, like, there's certain movies that would work really well for that. Like, Get Out would be perfect for that.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting question. So, if you change the thing, if anyone listening... knows, I would love the answer if you know legally and how copyright works, because copyright's a fucking nightmare trying to understand IP and copyright stuff. So if I take a film like, say, Get Out, and I edit it a bit visually, like on, you know, just video editor, so editing software, kind of make it look a little shittier, grainier, and maybe like add in some like 80s synth music, just like in some random spots, and then record it on a VHS, and then record that VHS on a VHS. So I've modified it, and it now does not look even remotely close to the original film, because it has my photo manipulation, the double record, because that completely degrades the quality. Two should still be watchable. The second should still be quite watchable, but it should give it a real, like, used VHS feel.
Yeah.
Does that count as a modification enough to be considered parody or artwork?
I would say no. But, you know, I'm not a copyright lawyer.
Yeah, because there's a specific amount of percentages you must change of a work to be considered non-derivative and consider it a parody. And you can also use a specific percentage of something without permission, like that for sampling. Like, that's a different story because it's like a little thing. But, yeah, I want to know how much would I have to modify a film to have it count? Like, what if I added in things like the VHS, like skipping, like missing scenes because the magnetic tape's wearing out, and just do that on the thing. So it becomes it's like a relic of like a lost movie. Like, would that work? Like, could I legally do that? If anyone knows, I'd love to know the answer.
I mean, you could legally do it. I don't know if you could sell it.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. You can, if you're doing it for personal use, you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want for the most part.
Well, there was this, it just reminds me that there was a guy who, he created this whole website, and I'm sure you could still find it. I don't remember the name of it. It was years and years and years ago. But he did this whole thing, a blog, about how he traveled to a parallel universe, and it was a parallel universe where the Beatles were still together, and after Let It Be, they recorded, like, three more albums together, and he got a copy of one of the albums, and he put it on the website for free. And it was essentially what he had done was he had taken a bunch of Beatles solo work and, like, did a bunch of stuff to it to make it sound like
they were together,
and it was really well done. I mean, it wasn't, you didn't half-ass it, and the parallel universe story was pretty cool about it. But I know he didn't, I don't think he ever got in trouble for putting all that stuff out there, because I think he did enough to the songs to make them sound different. Yeah,
because there's weird legal grays and loopholes and stuff, because, like, if I do, there's like a, I think they could probably come after you, but, like, if I draw Thor, like my own version of Marvel's Thor, and I sell that on a shirt, but it doesn't say Marvel's Thor, it just has, like, Thor. Like, you look at it and you're like, that's Marvel's Thor, but I don't say it's Marvel's Thor. Like, I call it, like, Thunder God. I can sell that shirt.
Thunder God.
Right. I call it Thunder God.
You know,
I can sell that shirt completely scot-free. They can't get me on it.
So my buddy Doug,
as long as it doesn't look like Chris Hemsworth, because then you get likeness rights.
So my buddy Doug had done a bunch of t-shirts for, like, T-Fury and all those sites. Mm-hmm. And he would make, like, 30, 40 bucks a month just on for the design. Recently, Disney went through and nixed everything that was remotely Disney from those sites. Like, so he's not making any money anymore off of them. So, like, what he had done was he had done the Rebel insignia, and it said, like, Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
On there, so it looked like the Adidas symbol. Like, he did it all up, so it looks like the Adidas symbol, but it, you know, with the Rebel thing, and so, but he got, like, that got taken down. He had a bunch of other stuff, yeah. So, I mean, like, you know.
All right, well, then there you go. I guess you can't do that.
Well, I mean, I bet you can, but it's a matter of whether or not T-Fury wants to go up against Disney.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I guess that's the other thing, too. Like, you might be able, that brings up, I saw The Founder not too long ago.
the Ray Kroc story.
Yeah, with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And that actually brought up something that made me really angry about Murica. And I was like, God damn it, that's so fucking true. Where, like, if someone has more money than you, they can just beat you in court by having more money. Like, they can be completely in the legal wrong, but they beat you with more money. And, like, he does that in the movie. And it's like, I'm just like, what a fucking dick. It's just like, yeah, like, you can try and fight me in court, but I'll bleed you out of money before I run out of money, and then I'll win by default. So, like, that's really bullshit that you can just bully people legally because you have more money.
Did you ever hear the story about Ray Kroc and the Filet-O-Fish?
No.
He, like, apparently for Lent, the McDonald's had to come up with something because, you know, back in the 60s, people were a lot more observant of religious holidays.
Well, there were a lot more Catholics.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying people as a whole were a lot more religious. Now, I'm Catholic too, but nowadays on Fridays during Lent, I'm like, oh, I should eat fish, but I really want the steak taco, you know. But anyway, so the...
I'm just happy he got me the pepper and egg sandwich because I like that sandwich.
I love a pepper and egg sandwich. But so they had to come up with something to serve on Fridays during Lent. And I guess one location came up with the filet of fish. But Ray Kroc wanted to come up with the, I think it was the McHula burger. And it was a burger, but instead of a burger patty, it actually had a pineapple that was a grilled pineapple as a patty instead. And he was like, he was so convinced that this was going to be like the sandwich for Lent. And it sold terribly.
Yeah, it's a fucking grilled pineapple. Who would buy that?
I don't know. You never know. But
now, you take a grilled pineapple and you put it on a burger.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Then maybe we're talking.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, though, is like you think about the winners and losers of something. It's like we, in a parallel universe, during, you know, Game Classy on Earth 2.
We're talking about how stupid the filet of fish is.
Yeah, like who would eat fish on a sandwich?
Yeah, who would eat filet of fish on a sandwich? That's retarded.
Yeah, that's exactly. Damn those Earth 2 Game Classy guys. So much more successful than us.
Living it up with their $3 a month off Game Classy revenue.
So much. There's a podcast I've been listening to lately called Mysterious Universe. You ever hear of it? Maybe some of our Australian listeners have heard of it before because they're from Australia. But you never, they always talk about how they're not popular in Australia, like they're super popular everywhere else. But they do like a lot of like, they talk about occult stuff and occult books and UFOs and all this nonsense like that and parallel universes. But they make apparently a ton of money off the podcast. And I'm like, God damn it. Well, because what they do is they like do half a podcast and then they sell the other half of the podcast for like premium listeners at like $3 a month.
Okay.
And I'm like, God damn it. We don't have enough listeners to do that. So, and plus, it's like that's a whole thing. You got to claim that on your taxes if you make that much money. I don't want to do any of that.
Seems like a lot of work.
Exactly. I just want to find out where I could buy bootleg models from. So just, once again, send that to the Facebook page.
And I want answers on my VHS scheme.
Yeah. If there's any copyright lawyers listening to this.
Hook me up. Hook me up with them deets. Let me know how I need to change the movie so I can bootleg shit and sell VHS. That's big. VHS collecting, it's getting big now.
Well, yeah, because it's a physical medium. And it's actually better for storing media than... Magnetic tape is better for storing media than or information than any other source. So because it's physical, you don't need electricity to keep it, and doesn't degrade it as bad as like a hard drive would.
Sure.
So just so you guys know, but yeah, of course VHS collecting was going to take off. Ugh, the Disney stuff is apparently there's some versions of VHS tapes that for Disney that go for lots of money. So they go on eBay and it's like some rare copy of a VHS. And people are like, so my copy of Dumbo is worth $700. No, yeah, it's not.
No, it's this one obscure-ass copy of Dumbo that you don't own.
Exactly. And so now you see, like, these BuzzFeed things like, top 10 collectible VHS you won't believe is number 2. You know, like, that sort of thing.
Fucking BuzzFeed. Sons of bitches.
They just capitalized on what got Donald Trump elected. The stupidity of America.
Yeah, it's true.
Buttery mails, Steve. Buttery mails.
Buttery mails. That's really humorous. I like that.
You said humorous. I spit on myself. All right. So, gaming. Oh, the other gaming news. We should get back to that.
I don't think we talked about games at all, really.
No, we talked about all the Age of Sigmar. We talked a lot at the front end.
That's true.
Kickstarter for
Satan, Settlers of Satan, or Satan of
Catan.
Satan of Catan. I don't know. It looks hilarious.
It's their devil. I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, it's hanging on. I'll try and bring it up while you say what you were gonna say.
Oh, the Kickstarter for Zombicide, the new Black Plague, or the Green Tide, I think it's what it's called. Looks fantastic. One of my bigger problems with all the Zombicide stuff, and even the Black Plague stuff, which you think is the quintessential version of Zombicide,
I agree.
I'm not a big zombie fan. But this one is all orcs.
Nice.
So it is awesome looking. All of the sculpts are fantastic. They're doing the standard stuff where, you know, all the stretch goals, they have like all these unique characters that are coming up with it. So now they've gotten past all of the traditional dwarves, elves, men, you know, whatever, halflings and things like that. So now they're getting to the celebrity parodies, and they're doing The last one that just came out was what's his face from Queen?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. There's a Freddie Mercury like wizard.
Sweet.
That you get to have.
All right, Settlers for Satan is what it is.
Yeah.
Settle satanic churches and cathedrals for Satan with these stone hexes. Limited collector's edition.
Yeah. Okay. It's just Settlers of Catan with
it's a satanic parody of Settlers of Catan. It's really funny, and they were extraordinarily successful at trolling religious people with it, because there were the amount of butthurt in the comment section was amazing. They actually ended up disabling comments, but it was really funny, and it is successfully funded. It looks really.
Why would you disable the comments?
I don't know. Probably because you have to moderate. And, like, if you don't want to spend the time moderating the comments, you just fucking delete
them. Why do you have to moderate? You don't have to moderate.
I guess you do. I don't know. But, I don't know. It looks really funny. So if you want to have, like, a somewhat edgy version of Settlers Catan, I would get yourself a copy of Settlers for Satan. It's very humorous.
I mean, granted, I'm no Satanist. I'm not one of those neckbeards who always talks about, like, you know, the how dumb religion is and blah, 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 blah. The Church of Satan is hilarious.
Yeah, they're actually atheists, and they troll people.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just like, this is how dumb you are with your craziness.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you want to put a statue of Jesus? We're also going to put a statue of Baphomet.
Yeah,
like, whoops, sorry, religious freedom.
Yeah, you want to put you want to have prayer before a school, whatever. We'll do that too, but we'll do
satanic prayer.
Yeah,
whoops,
exactly.
Religious freedom.
Can we do that? But let's do the Cult of Cthulhu instead of the Church of Satan, so that way we can get away with that a little bit easier. We don't have to deal with, like, the neckbeardy Satanists of it all.
I think Cthulhu is probably more neckbeard territory than Satanism. Yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm right. I'm going to declare that I'm right on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, it could go either way, but yeah, it is pretty nerdy. But yeah, so I actually ended up pledging. The bigger problem with the Green Tide is that it's a little on the expensive side. It's $120 for the Kickstarter.
Hmm.
Granted, you're getting like 500 miniatures in it, and you know all the other stuff that you normally get with it. I thought it was going to be a little cheaper this time because Cool Mini or Not bought Zombicide, so they own it now. They don't have to, you know, go through the whole.
Well, now they
want to
make extra money.
Yeah,
gotta make that extra scratch, baby. They're setting
the
price.
Gotta make that scratch.
Yeah, well, they gotta recoup the loss after buying the game.
Well, that's true. One of the things that made me laugh, though, was that even though they're doing orcs this time, they're undead orcs because they have to keep with the zombicide theme of it, and they don't look undead at all. They just look like orcs. Mm. So,
also a huge bit of news: Asmodee North America has gone exclusive with one distributor.
Oh, really?
They went exclusive with Alliance.
Oh,
they went from distributing to everyone, then down to five. Now they're down to just Alliance, which is a huge thing for the, like, pretty huge downside for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna really suck because Asmodee is the biggest board game company in the world, right?
Board games, yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, you still got, like,
they have the largest chunk of the board games market.
Yes.
As far as people overvalue how big they are and how important they are.
Yeah. Because I mean, like, Hasbro still has
Hasbro.
They have Magic.
Hasbro's board games division is bigger than Asmodee.
Oh, okay.
Hasbro.
Yeah, but they,
you have no idea how many copies of fucking Monopoly get sold.
I was gonna say, but I mean, like, games that people actually want to play, not games that people have at their home that they bring out on occasion and say, "Hey, we should play."
At
Life.
The end of the day, money.
Yeah,
talks.
I know. I get it.
If I had to pick and you said, hey, you can have Settlers of Catan or Monopoly, I'll be like, I'll carry Monopoly.
Yeah.
Because gonna sell more Monopoly.
Because people are dumb. Well, grandparents are dumb. And they're like, my grandchild loves Yu-Gi-Oh. I'll buy him Yu-Gi-Oh Monopoly, which is located right next to all of these Yu-Gi-Oh cards. It's like, oh, God.
Yu-Gi-Oh-opoly.
Yu-Gi-Oh-opoly. What is it? The Shadow Zone?
The Shadow Realm?
Shadow Realm.
I'll send you straight to the Shadow Realm, Kaiba. Looks like you've rolled doubles once too many times.
I get that. So we were playing Monopoly with my daughter because she saw it, and you know, she has a Pokemon Monopoly, so she was giving that a try. and my wife was trying to like play like the crazy, you know, the rules that we always talk about, like
the made up nonsense rules that aren't Monopoly.
Yeah, like you get the
free parking money and shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, if I'm playing this game, we're playing by the real rules.
Yeah, because if you play Monopoly by the real rules, it doesn't take that long.
No.
It's not everyone always talks like, oh, Monopoly takes forever to play, and I'm just like, what game are you playing? Monopoly is fast. Like, you go bankrupt pretty quick. Like, the slowest version of Monopoly is just 1v1, and it's still pretty fast.
You know, it's like you could still, you know, you could buy properties for next to nothing. You could buy properties for a dollar if no one wants
them. Right,
and
that's the thing, too. Like, people don't do the auction stuff, which is a mandatory rule. People do the free parking thing, which extends the length of the game. They do all this.
People don't cheat when they're the banker, which extends the game.
Yeah, well, it's just there's a bunch of nonsense that people add to the game that make it longer. Like, I'm just like, you guys don't even like that's
you
not
have,
a rule.
You have to cheat as the banker. It's an absolute rule. If you're gonna play like real capitalist, like the evils of capitalism that Monopoly is designed to be, you have to cheat as the banker.
Well, you know, there are rules for doing dirty deals in Monopoly.
Yeah.
If you give someone $10 for a deal you agree, if you verbally agree to $50 and you give them $10 and they don't notice and the deal's concluded, you got it for $10.
Yeah.
That is an actual rule in Monopoly.
And that's like, because that's how real life is. Like, you don't think bankers, the actual banks, take their own money to invest in something that they're going to pay back, in quotes, later? That's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Come on, sheeple, wake up.
Wake up, sheeple.
But yeah, what was that going to? Oh yeah, so the Asmodee thing, it kind of sucks because I think, and what's it called? A lot of those companies have gone to that minimum price point too. Didn't Asmodee do that as well?
Fuck.
Thank you, Steve.
There's going to be, I believe they're going to be moving to MAP. Minimum advertised price point.
Yeah. Like they did. Fantasy Flight did that, didn't they? Well, Fantasy Flight's owned by Asmodee.
Asmodee. That's one entity now.
Or Cool Mini did that.
Someone has a map.
Someone just did that. I think it was Cool Mini.
Just went exclusive with two distributors too. So.
Oh, so you don't? Yeah, I know you don't carry Cool Mini anymore.
Nope.
You never carried Cool Mini.
No, we did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, no Cool Mini, no Asmodee. Gone. Poof.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, if they were more like, I actually didn't realize how little they were of my business until I lost them, and I was like, shit, I got to look at how much money this is going to cost me, and I looked, and I was like, huh. I really overvalued both of those companies.
Now back to selling baseball cards.
Yeah, it looks like it's back to Magic cards for old Steve.
What about your Fleer or your Donruss?
No, I don't sell sports cards. And actually, a lot of the hottest board games are not from Asmodee right now. Like, they're all, there's an interesting phenomena going on right now with board games. There's actually a deluge of quality. There's too many excellent board games coming out. There's just actually, the market is completely flooded with amazing games. So now only
that
the games
we don't play.
Well, now that games that are only the hypest of the hype are the ones that people care about. So things like Gloomhaven, Scythe, Terraforming Mars,
Dead of Winter.
That's a good point. The sequel for Dead of Winter came out and shit the bed. Nobody gives a shit about it. And by all accounts, it's better than the first one, but it's not the hot game anymore, so no one cares.
Yeah. I only know about games after they've reached their peak hotness. Star Trek Ascendancy, let's play this game.
I'm still waiting on the Cardassian and Ferengi expansions for that game.
The Borg expansion.
Also, that's from Gale Force 9. Also not Asmodee or Cool Mini.
Oh yeah, Gale Force 9, they did. I guess they did some like Gale Force 9 convention or something like that. And they were at some convention lately and they were previewing out their the Borg stuff. You got to see the Borg cube. The cube, Steve. It's the cube.
The cube.
The cube. Anyway, that's about all the gaming stuff that I got for y'all this week, I guess. I don't really have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
There was some other stuff. We could talk about the Space Marine tank that we... the treadless tank.
Oh, the Repulsor? I like it. It's cool.
It's so stupid looking.
I like it. It's cool. It's got the same deal as the jet bikes. It's got the little little jet thingies on the bottom.
I
liked it. It's actually a hover tank.
If you play it, though, what sound do you make when you move it? You do that? You do like the Jetson sound?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I don't know. It depends on how fast it can go.
Okay.
If it can move really fast, that I'd use the Jetson sounds. If it's slow, I would...
Nah, I can't do that.
If it's slow... Yeah. If it's fast. If it's slow, I would go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, that's the sound I would make.
Yeah, that's if it's slow. The Repulsor is, whoa, 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 whoa. That's if it's slow. So mine would be based on how fast the model can move.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's the sound I would make for it. So, how to annoy people during 40K? Make sounds when all your guys move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew. All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Command Throw.
Best way to help out this podcast, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. I'll say it over and over and over again. Like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. It's the best way to help out this podcast. Unless you're Lord Havoc. I went through our comments again. A couple new ones popped up. And I still see the two that are from Lord Havoc that make me so, like, I kind of get mad about it. But at the same time, I have to laugh. Because it's a guy that hated our podcast so much that he came back, like, 3 months later and left another angry comment on our podcast. So, it just makes me laugh that much. And then he does not like, because we're so vulgar. So
fuck,
yeah.
Fuck, shit, piss, cunt, fuck. Lord Havoc.
And you could also listen to us on the YouTubes, just in case you're like, I don't like listening in radio form. I want a visual while I watch it when I listen to a podcast. That's the other way to do it. You could also listen to sister podcasts, Comic Book Logic. We will be doing the 2017 Wonder Woman movie next week. And you could also listen to Play On, where Steve and Pat will talk about their Kumite.
We actually recorded a Kumite episode there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Kumite!
There you go. Steve, until the next podcast.
Mighty battles in an age of unending war?
Game classy.